Hello, everyone. I'm Matt Mullen, and I welcome you to the September 12th, 2024 episode of FreePod. As always, we are proud to bring you this short weekly podcast with the help of a large volunteer group dedicated to providing objective news that's specific to our community.
Hi, Matt. I'm Amy Fisher, and we want to remind you that any photos or website addresses are always included in the print version of our newscasts on the FreePod website at www.freepod.org. Now let's get started on the local news you've been missing. A week has passed since a standoff with Freeport police occurred at the Mary Hosmer apartment building in Freeport, but residents are still shaken from the event. On the morning of September 4th, police responded to a call to a 10th floor apartment for a woman who needed help. After talking with resident Grady Clark, as well as the woman, officers got her out of the apartment, but Clark remained inside. He had allegedly said he had both weapons and a hostage and refused to come out, leading to a 12-hour standoff that eventually involved Illinois State Police. Clark finally surrendered peacefully late Wednesday night, and several firearms were recovered. No one was injured, and residents were advised they could return to their homes. Clark faces numerous charges from the incident.
Adams Avenue has long been a challenging project. In 2023, contractors Helm Civil and NTRAC Group started working on Adams Street to improve the roadway and renew the underlying infrastructure. This project includes new pavement, water and sewer main, sidewalks, curbs, and other improvements. This reconstruction has faced many delays over the past 15 months. As crews uncovered sections of the road, the historical issues left behind provided new challenges. The movement of utility poles and service lines also caused delays. The city is optimistic that this project can reach completion by the end of November, giving Freeport a beautiful new road and safe infrastructure for the holiday season. The community's continued patience and understanding is appreciated.
Speaking of infrastructure improvements, the city's Public Works Department is one busy group of folks. FreePod has done several stories recently on the improvements the city is making in our drinking water system, sewer collection system, and related water systems, all of which are the responsibility of the water and sewer construction crew. They maintain around 150 miles of water main, sewer main, and storm mains throughout the city. There are more than 1,200 hydrants and almost 1,700 valves, and this team does everything to manage them, from installation to decommissioning. You may see them out operating the vac truck, camera truck, backhoe, or even a simple shovel. They spend their days digging holes, performing Julie locates, and working in water and mud. If that sounds like something for you, job opportunities can be found on the city's website. A photo of the team is included in the print version of this newscast. Thank you, Public Works, for working for Freeport.
The Illinois Department of Agriculture is distributing over $500,000 in grants over a three-year period to support the specialty crop industry in the state, and Freeport High School is one of the recipients. The grant the high school is receiving is just over $43,000. According to educator Ben Skipper, who leads the program, the Freeport Student Garden, working with the University of Illinois Extension, will support the garden's transition from conventional production to high tunnel production. Students will be able to extend the garden's growing season and take a more active role in production during the school year while developing skills for specialized equipment and learning best practices. Although they may look like greenhouses, high tunnels are actually quite different. High tunnels are polyethylene, plastic, or fabric-covered hoop structures that can be assembled for a fraction of the cost, with plants grown in raised beds or directly in the ground. High tunnels protect plants from severe weather and allow farmers to extend their growing seasons earlier into the spring and later into the fall. Because they prevent direct rainfall from reaching plants, more precise tools like drip irrigation can be used to efficiently deliver water and nutrients to plants. High tunnels also offer greater ability to control pests, and it can even protect plants from pollen and pesticide drift. Projects were selected after a competitive review process with the Illinois Department of Agriculture and an external review committee composed of representatives from the specialty crop industry, research and economic development, and producers. Only 8 projects were selected for grants funding for this program from the U.S. Department of Ag and was authorized by the 2018 Federal Farm Bill. FreePod host Tim Connors recently talked with Ben about the garden. Let's hear their conversation.
I'm here with Ben Skipper. Ben not only does so many great things in this community, I have given him the new nickname, the Garden Guru, with all the great things he's doing with the program here at Freeport High School. Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. So this summer has been pretty darn fantastic for you. How's the garden been, and what have you been working on?
Things are going really well in the garden. Kind of, you know, plugging along as usual. We've had a lot of different kind of additions in the garden. One of the big ones being our meat chickens and meat turkeys, expanding that. We've been awarded some grants to expand some of our programming. And we've been continuing with our CSA shareholder program downtown at the farmers market on Saturdays and having the self-service stand here, you know, right at the garden.
Ben, you're a rock star with a lot of people because of that garden, especially down at the farmers market, but also with the boxes that you have. It seems that you are expanding over here at the high school also. I see something here in your classroom. What's happening here in your classroom?
Yeah, so we were awarded $82,000 from the Community Foundation of Northern Illinois. And then we were able to get about $20,000 from Compere Financial, Bacher Auto Group, the Freeport Garden Club, and other supporters in the community to help fund part of this project. So we are building, nearly finished with the construction of a greenhouse lab attached to my classroom here. And it's going to give us the ability to, you know, go outside during winter when it's, you know, nice and cold. So, you know, we're going to be able to do, you know, a lot of hands-on work. And, you know, I tell the students it's always sunny and 75 in the greenhouse.
There you go. So over on the big garden there this summer, what has really been growing big time? What is something that you're like, my goodness, we get so many of these things.
Well, I'd like to say the weeds, because there's always weeds. But in terms of like our vegetables, our cucumbers have been doing really, really great. Our okra is doing really well. And we're going to expand how many okra plants we have next year, because so many people, like, we can't keep it. We'll sell it. It flies off the stand. And then some of our like specialty hot peppers that we're trying new this year are doing really well too.
Ooh, hot peppers. Outstanding. So I also have been seeing wonderful things about you, your kids, and the program about food that is going to individuals that need it. What are you doing with that?
Yeah. So through some community support and grants from Monroe Clinic and SARE, which is the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education, we developed the Feeding Families Garden, which is in a courtyard at the high school. And we have, you know, number of raised beds, and all the produce that we grow in those goes to families in need in the school district and the community. So last week we dropped off a half bushel of cucumbers, a bushel of tomatoes, and a half bushel of peppers for them. And we'll be dropping off more produce tomorrow. And that's going to Joseph's Pantry over on Adams.
That's just wonderful, Ben. How have you seen this program grow over these past few years?
Well, I remember when I started, you know, I would joined Monica Pierce because she had started the garden in 2013. And I joined up in the summer of 2020 during COVID because, you know, when I reached out to her as a shareholder, we weren't sure if the garden was going to continue to run because, you know, students had to stay home, and kind of got involved working with her, and she handed the reins to me. I think the thing I'm most proud of is our self-service stand. You know, being able to offer produce to the community. They can come at any time. And they're not restricted to, you know, the Saturday morning that the farmers market is open. Or if they don't live close to, you know, downtown and they live close to the school, they're able to stop there and get it. And our students can see, you know, they'll see customers driving up and making their purchase. And then the customers get to see, you know, young people in our community making a difference.
That's great. Now, speaking of making a difference, I see Tater Tot every once in a while, the garden cat, yep, because I do composting not only at our house, but also for my mom. I help him, my mother-in-law. There are so many people in this community that are composting, but maybe there's somebody that's listening today that can't or wants a bucket and hasn't yet. How can they get a bucket to start composting at the garden?
Yeah, so it's open to everybody, our community composting program. All they have to do is email Deb Lishway, and she'll get you set up with, you know, a quick tour of our composting area. And then if you need a bucket, we provide a bucket to you for just a small deposit. And if you decide, you know, hey, this composting thing isn't working out for me, give us the bucket back. You get your deposit back.
That's outstanding. Ben, great work. Great work with the kids. You taught me that okra flies. That might be my new fantasy football name, Flying Okra. And more importantly, thank you for feeding Freeport.
Thank you.
The cross-country team had a historic summer. From June to the start of September, they recorded their miles to improve their race times from last year. Miana Louie broke the all-time summer running mileage record by running 545 miles, and Johanna Rudolph was runner-up with 537 miles. The official season started last week with the Sycamore invite, and Rudolph led the Pretzels with a second-place overall finish in the varsity race. The girls will participate in the Rockford East High School ERAB Invitational this Saturday. On the boys' side, Austin Brobst and newcomer Maddox Teresi climbed the summer record board and raised expectations for their second season. The Pretzels have three home meets this season, with the next two on October 5th and October 19th. All will be held at Highland Community College. In other summer sports news, 11 Freeport High School golfers won the Jefferson Invite Small School Division in August, with Keandre Louie and Cooper Hathaway finishing in the top team of both team tournaments. Good luck to all the teams competing in fall sports.
The public is invited to Fiesta Hispana at Jehovah Nisei Church this Sunday, September 15th, to celebrate the start of National Hispanic Heritage Month, which begins on Sunday and continues through Tuesday, October 15th. The fun-filled day begins at 11 a.m. and continues until 4, includes music, special beverages, and delicious food from the Dominican Republic, Honduras, Colombia, among others. The theme for this national week in 2024 is Pioneers of Change, Shaping the Future Together. Beginning in 1968 as Hispanic Heritage Week under President Lyndon Johnson, this national month-long observation was expanded by President Ronald Reagan in 1988 to cover a 30-day period starting on September 15th and ending on October 15th. Jehovah Nisei Church is located at 1421 West Galena Avenue next to the Big Apple Restaurant.
A new exhibition at the Freeport Art Museum opened last Friday. The Midwest Lands exhibition focuses on farmland, rural landscapes, and the aesthetics, psychological, and emotional content of these themes. Featuring works by renowned artists Dan Brinkmeyer, Barry Roll Carlson, Ellen Holtzblatt, Tom Linden, Stuart Roddy, and Mark Weller, the pieces capture the beauty and complexity of rural life. There are also works by members of the local Momentum Art Guild. Complementing the visual art, the exhibition includes poetry from Poems from the Winter House by Daniel Smith, whose work is rooted in a rural heritage and reflects on his love for a spouse, a farm, and a way of life. The show runs through Saturday, October 12th at the museum at 121 North Harlem Avenue in Freeport.
At a public input meeting held last week at City Hall, Freeport residents were able to voice city budget concerns and ideas about what they would like to see funded in their neighborhoods and the community at large. Among the topics that were mentioned were increases in staff and wages for the public works force, bolstering police efforts around the city, the options being considered for dilapidated homes and buildings, and solutions for illegal dumping. The public will have another opportunity to offer input to City Manager Rob Boyer and the Finance Department staff during a similar meeting on Monday, October 28th.
September is Sepsis Awareness Month, and FHN is hosting a speaker series session on the topic next Wednesday, September 18th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the FHN Family Healthcare Center, Burchard Hills, 1010 West Fairway Drive in Freeport. Sepsis is the body's extreme response to an infection, and it can be deadly. Join two FHN experts for an informative talk about how to recognize sepsis and what types of treatment are available to address it. For more information on this free program and to register, visit fhn.org/sepsis or call 1-877-600-0346, extension 901.
Flu shots are already available, and this year's seasonal vaccine covers three flu viruses. The new COVID and influenza vaccines can be administered at the same time, but that is more of a personal choice based on an individual's circumstances rather than a scientific choice. Remember that neither COVID or the flu vaccines are live virus vaccines, so you cannot get either disease from the shots.
This Saturday, September 14th, Freeport's Friends Forever Humane Society is hosting the Bruce Nielsen Memorial Car Show. And while car registration begins at 8 a.m., this fundraising event is much more than just cars. Food will be available for purchase throughout the day, and there will be music and events to keep you entertained. From 8 to 3, temperatures permitting, the high-flying Huskies will be providing mushing demonstrations once per hour. There will also be a meet and greet with the sled dogs throughout the day. Check them out on Facebook. Also, from 9 to 1, the shelter will be holding their annual Mum Sale, and fall decorations will also be available. Mums are available in three sizes at $13, $22, and $40. There is no fee for spectators, and friendly leashed dogs are welcome, although the shelter requests no retractable leashes. Friends Forever Humane Society is located at 966 West Rudy Road.
To close out this week's newscast, FreePod host Alan Wenzel had a chat with the drivers and hosts of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile when it cruised through Northwest Illinois last week. Take it away, Alan.
This is FreePod host Alan Wenzel. I'm here in Lena, Illinois, standing in the parking lot of Sullivan Foods, talking to Sizzlin' Steven.
Hello.
Who's the driver for the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Steven, nice to have you as part of the conversation today.
Thank you for having me.
First question I got to ask you, Sizzlin' Steven, is how do you get a job like this driving around the Wienermobile?
Well, the first step is filling out an application like any other job. So you fill out an application, they do some interviews with you, and then all of a sudden you're on board.
And how long of a gig is this, Steven?
It's for 1 year. So they hire 12 new hot doggers, we're called hot doggers, every June. So it's for 1 year, and 12 hot doggers get to do it every year.
And I understand that there are like six of these trucks that are, well, trucks, vehicles, what do you call it?
A vehicle. Wienermobile.
Yeah. Going all over the United States. What's your territory, Steven?
We're in the Midwest. Myself and her name is Sarah Kraut, who's inside right now.
Sarah Kraut?
Sarah, okay. Yeah, her name's Sarah. Sarah Kraut. We're in the Midwest. So we've been all around the Midwest since the beginning of June. We've hit 9 states so far. And then in January, we'll all switch to get a new partner and a new region of the country as well. So we'll get to do.
Oh, I see. So you
regions.
Rotate.
Yes,
we do. You're not stuck in the Midwest through the winter. Do you get to go south or out west?
We don't know yet, but I hope down south. I want to get away from the cold, but that means another team will be coming up here in the Midwest. So there's always someone everywhere.
Well, Steven, when you're not driving the Wienermobile, what are you doing? Are you in school? Are you in college? Do you have another job somewhere?
So they hire recent college graduates. So none of us are in college. We've all graduated. Most of us have just previously graduated this year. So I just graduated from Boston College in May of this year. And so on our off days, we kind of get to explore where we're at. So we usually have Tuesday and Wednesday off because it's better for the Wienermobile to see the most amount of people on the weekends. So we work through the weekends. Gotcha. And then we get to have Tuesday and Wednesday off. And usually we're always in a different place for our off days, always in a new place. So we get to explore the area, see any state parks, national parks.
Oh, neat.
We can take the Wienermobile pretty much anywhere within a 60-mile radius of where we are.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
It's our only vehicle. So if we're going anywhere, it's got to come with us pretty much, unless we want to Uber or anything like that.
I bet you're one of the most photographed vehicles on the road today. People go by you on the interstate. Are they waving and taking pictures and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'll say we'll have up to 9 or 10 hour drive sometimes, and it's never a minute that's boring. I'll tell you that. There's always people waving, honking, trying to take pictures. Sometimes a little scary when I'm trying to merge on the interstate and people are driving my speed and trying to take pictures of me. But it's all in good fun. We always love it. Yeah.
And how many miles a year are you putting on this vehicle?
So all 12 of us, they say, will each put on 20,000 miles this year.
20,000 miles. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So this Wienermobile, its name is Relish Me. They all have different names with different license plates. We've done about 10,000 miles so far with Relish Me this year, which means each of us have done 5,000.
Do they retire these vehicles after a certain amount of time, when it gets to be too many miles, or they have to replace the vehicle or redo it in some way?
Yeah, so Relish Me is from 2018. It's actually the oldest vehicle on the road right now. So just whenever it needs to be replaced or something's wrong with the engine, they'll fix it up. But probably they last for about 8 or 9 years, yeah.
So I imagine you've had a lot of interesting experiences in the time that you've been doing this. Lots of stories you could share. Do you have a favorite place that you've been besides Lena? And
Lena's
Stevenson
my
County?
Favorite by far.
There you go. Yeah. Of course.
But
what's your second
Lena?
Most?
We were up in northern Minnesota a few weeks ago doing a whole tour of all the different cities or towns around northern Minnesota. And that was great. That was so much fun. We saw a lot of people today actually with Grand Marais, Minnesota sweatshirts.
Oh, sure.
Which is interesting because we were just there.
Sure.
So that was great. But the Midwest has treated us very well. We've loved everywhere. Like I said, I'm went to Boston College. But
where are you from? What's
I'm
your
originally
hometown?
From outside of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And Sarah Kraut is from Georgia. She went to the University of Georgia.
Okay.
So this is both of our first time in the Midwest, and we've loved it. Everyone's treated us so nicely.
Great way to see the country, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. So we'll get to do the Midwest while it's warm, and then we'll go somewhere new while it's warm there too, hopefully.
So when you put this on your resume now, do you include pictures and locations and all the places that you've been? I imagine it would help you in some ways with your next job for people to know that you've been out and about interacting with the public in a public relations way. Is that kind of your interest, Sizzling
Steven? I would
think
so. I mean, I think there are hopefully a lot of opportunities to come post this job. I'm not too certain yet. I'm kind of just trying to live in the moment here while we're here, you know, doing this great job. But I know in the future this will really help me out. They picked 12 of us out of 7,500 applicants this year.
Oh, my gosh.
So hopefully that shows that I'm a pretty good candidate.
That's worse than the NBA cut or the NFL cut.
I don't know about that.
7,500 down to 12. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Sounds like you're having fun. And by the way, Minnesota is not a bad state. My son, daughter-in-law, and grandkids live in Minnesota.
Really? We loved it there. We're going back to Minneapolis, actually, in the beginning of November. So we're very excited.
And let's hope you get there and back before it snows too much up in Minnesota. Well, Sizzling Steven with the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. So nice to talk with you. Again, welcome to the Midwest and Northwest Illinois and Stevenson County and Lena, Illinois. And thanks so much for your time, Steven.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Same to you.
Well, it's pretty hard to top that, so we won't try. But in closing, we're pleased to share that Alan will also host next week's Tuesday in-depth interview with Stevenson County Clerk Jasmine Wingert about the upcoming election, with detailed information about voting in the county. This important conversation will post at noon on Tuesday, September 17th. With that, time's up for this week, but tune in again next week for more about Freeport businesses, city plans in progress, area rewards and recognition, local impacts related to state and national news, and more. As we say each week, FreePod couldn't come to you without the help of many local supporters. We're especially appreciative for the Mass Communications Department at Highland Community College for producing this podcast, as well as our many liaisons and reporters for the time they volunteer to bring the news to you. Thank you, Highland and Team FreePod. If you have story suggestions or would like to make a tax-deductible contribution to support FreePod, visit our website at www.freepod.org. Again, I'm Amy, here with Matt, and we hope you'll check back next week for more news you've been missing. Thanks for listening.